are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So repentance is a multifaceted concept that involves a deep sense of regret or remorse for one's actions, leading to a sincere turning away from those actions and a commitment to change behavior. Repentance begins with the acknowledgement and recognition of one's wrongdoing or sinful actions. So we are going to be speaking about all things repentance throughout the whole week. But today, just to define it more, you can also engage with us on +27 7834703520. That number again is +27 7834703520. And we are joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Andrew Mkandawiri, who's going to be helping us. Mpundisi, Murubwanch.
Buena, Murubwanch. It sounds nice coming from you.
I'm learning, you know. So now I know the Murubwant and the Niribwino. Awesome. Now I'm there. Awesome. Yeah, so I'll continue learning other words. Yes. Are you okay, my pastor?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. How are you?
We are good as well, Mfundiswami. We are just speaking about this very important topic, and we know that you're going to be helping us with that. But before we start, Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray so that we can get to the conversation?
All right, let us pray. Dear Lord and Father, our gracious Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, we praise your name. We glorify you for your goodness and mercies and loving kindness. We want to ask, my Father and my God, that you indeed grant us forgiveness, that as we discuss this subject, it will not be one that we discuss from head knowledge, but that one that we discuss from experience. So wash us from all sin, from all unrighteousness in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And be with us, my Father, even grant us insight by the Holy Spirit as we discuss your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, speaking about all things repentance, right, and I understand that it is part of it is the acknowledgement of our sins and our wrongdoings, etc., etc. But what does it mean to truly recognize, you know, and acknowledge the wrongdoing? Because sometimes you acknowledge it, but it's really not truly. But what does it mean, Mfundisi?
All right. So, to recognize and acknowledge wrongdoing simply means to see sin for what it really is.
Okay.
Sinful. And when we see sin as sinful, we will then begin to develop a hatred against it.
Okay.
When we see sin as sinful, it then shows us who exactly we really are. And so it also means to acknowledge our own state of being in contrast to the character of God and to his holiness. That's recognizing and acknowledging wrongdoing. And it also means to have remorse for our wrongdoing and completely turning away from those wrongdoings. Because we see sin for what it really is, and then we see ourselves in contrast to the character and holiness of God. And so that draws us to wanting to measure up, though we know we can only do so in Christ.
Okay.
But it makes us want to measure up, to be reconciled to God so that we are in harmony with him one more time. That's what it means to recognize our wrongdoings.
So how important is the issue of self-awareness, Mfundiswami, when we are repenting? Because sometimes, you know, we are told of these sins. Hey, Zanele, when I ask you, gossip a lot. I'm just making an example. I don't gossip. You know, saying, hey, Zanele, it seems like, you know, you gossip a lot, but I myself I'm not aware of it, you know. So how important is the issue of self-awareness when it comes to repentance?
It's very important because self-awareness is a key to repentance because it helps you examine yourself in contrast to the holiness of God.
Yeah.
And the problem that most people have is that they examine themselves, they compare themselves with other human beings. And as a result, they think that they are good people because others could be far worse than they are And because of that, you think you are good because you're not the same as others. You're not worse off as others are. Mm-hmm. But that's the wrong place to do comparisons.
Mm.
We should be comparing ourselves with the character of God, with his word and his law.
Mm.
And so when, like James says, the law of liberty is like a mirror.
Mm.
So that when we look into it and we see a reflection, the reflection we see in that mirror is what helps us to live accordingly, to stand right with God. Because when we see the reflection in the law of liberty,
mm.
we see how exactly who exactly we are and how we stand before God
mm.
and before God's standard of righteousness.
Okay.
And so when we see God's standard of righteousness, and when we see our own reflection in the mirror of the liberty of the law of God, then we are drawn to want to measure up to that standard.
Mm.
So when we compare ourselves with other people, we do ourselves a disservice because other people are not the measure of the standard righteousness.
Okay.
And so self-awareness comes when we see what God demands of us and how we measure up.
Mm.
So we then see how indeed, as an individual, I am faring according to the standard of God.
Mm.
And until we see exactly who we are and how we stand, then we cannot see the truth of our standing in God's standard of righteousness.
Mm.
And so it's important that we get to know ourselves, but we can only do so when we measure ourselves in the mirror, the liberty of law, in the mirror of the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only place we see exactly who we are and how we stand. Mm-hmm. So self-awareness comes when we see ourselves according to how God sees us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Mfundisi, I would like to believe, but you know, you're the theologian, you will help us, that there is a difference between me saying, I'm sorry, you know, I'm very, very sorry, ne?
Mm-hmm.
Than me acknowledging the fact that what I did is wrong, or what I did, I have sinned, you know. So how do these two differ? Me saying, I am sorry, and me acknowledging that I have done something wrong.
Great. Good question. Allow me to read a few texts in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read both from Matthew.
Okay.
Let me begin with chapter 27 first, and then we'll go to chapter 26.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to contrast how Judas and Peter said their stories. So they were both sorry, but what was the difference in their story?
Mm.
And so, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 3 to 5. Let's just read verse 3 to 5, and then we'll read chapter 26 as well. And so, this is Matthew, chapter 27, verse 3. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful. Now, I like the word, I like the fact that the Bible says that Judas was remorseful.
Mm.
And so, let me begin again. Let me read it again. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned in betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is it to us? See to it. Then verse 5 says, then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself.
Mm.
So yes, Judas was indeed remorseful. He actually saw his sin. He acknowledged it and he actually confessed it. He was remorseful about it. But his remorse did not bring him to repentance. His remorse was mere acknowledgement of the sin he had done.
Mm.
Now, in contrast to what Judas did, here is what Peter does. Now, Peter the story is very common. Chapter 26 tells the story of Peter's denial of Jesus Christ thrice.
Okay.
And Jesus told him beforehand that he would deny him three times.
Mm.
Peter forgot about this, and then the story played out. Now, let me read two verses, verse 74 and 75.
Mm-hmm.
74, the Bible says, "Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, 'I do not know this man.'
Mm.
And immediately a rooster crowed." And then verse 25, verse 75, the Bible says, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.'
Mm-hmm.
So he went and wept bitterly." So both of them realize their sin. Both of them are remorseful.
Mm.
One goes to hang himself because of his remorse. The other instead cries to God in bitterness. He bitterly cries to God. And so his remorse leads him to repentance. Now the difference is that while one acknowledges his sin, his acknowledgement is a mere recognition of what he has done.
Mm.
The other one, on the other hand, seeks conversion and restoration to the harmony and communion with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Judas does is simply merely recognizing his sin,
mm-hmm.
acknowledging it. But Peter goes ahead to seek restoration,
mm-hmm.
to seek forgiveness, and to seek harmony and communion with God one more time. And so Judas does not seek to be released from his guilt, but Peter's contrition goes ahead to seek for release from guilt.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the difference is. And there's plenty of examples in the Bible of people who recognized their guilt but did not really seek forgiveness for their sins.
Mm.
The story of Balaam, who met with an angel on the way, he recognizes his sin, but he doesn't repent of it. Esau, when he saw that his birthright was lost and gone forever, he was remorseful, but he did not seek repentance for what he had done. It was the same with the king of Egypt when the children of Israel were asking to be released to go back to Canaan. And each time he was plagued, after every plague, every punishment, he repented of it. He saw his wrongdoing, but he did not seek forgiveness.
Okay.
So he kept going back to his old ways. And that's what happens when we acknowledge our sins and don't seek forgiveness from them.
Mm.
That's the difference between contrition and really acknowledging, merely acknowledging one's sins.
Mm. So, Mfundisi, there is them actively turning away from sin. Ne?
Mm.
Like, what is the significance of that? As I'm repenting, Uzadele, you know, I don't know why I'm referring on gossip. It means maybe there's a listener, you know, who struggles with this because it's definitely not me. It's not me, Pundiswam. So for me to, as an example, my listeners, example.
Mm-hmm.
So me as Uzadele, who is a gossiper, you know, so for me to actively turn away from mm-hmm. gossiping, does it mean that I avoid people? Does it mean that I close my mouth quickly when I feel like it's about to come out? Like, how do we actively turn away from sin? And how significant is it, you know, when we are repenting?
Mm. How do we actively turn away? I'll answer that question as we conclude.
Mm-hmm.
The significance, however, let me advance 3 points.
Mm.
The significance of actively turning away from sin is that there is change of character in the process. That's mm-hmm. the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we adopt a second nature. You know, it is not our nature to be good, to do right. It is not our nature. Our nature is to be sinful. The Bible says we are evil continually. That's our nature. That's what we are born into. But when we actively turn away from sin, we adopt a second nature.
Mm.
It becomes a part of us to want to be good, to do good. And because of Jesus Christ, the mind that was in him becomes a part of us too, mm-hmm. and we begin to delight to do the will of God. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, there is also growth in the spirit when we turn away actively from sin. And so we grow in the spirit and we are restored to the joy of the salvation of God.
Mm.
We then live in harmony with him. Those are the three things that happen when we turn away from sin. Allow me to just read one portion of scripture. I would have read two, but let me give you the other one. I will not read it.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is Psalm 32, verse 1 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
In your own time, you could read it. But let me read this one, Psalm 51, rather. Let me read from verse 1 to 3, and then we'll skip to verse 10 to 14. But in your own time, you could read the entire passage, verse 1 to 14. Psalm 51, verse 1, the Bible says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me." Verse 10, the Bible says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your spirit, your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you."
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14 says, "Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness." You see the transformation from verse 1 to verse 14.
Yeah.
This is what happens. He begins as a transgressor and he repents of his transgressions. There is a change of character in the process. And before long, he says, "When you blot out all my sins, when you place in me a new spirit, I will then sing of your righteousness," so that transgressors will know of your loving kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what happens. There's a change of in character in the process.
Mm-hmm.
We adopt a new nature, and then we begin to grow in the spirit. We are restored to the salvation of God, and thus we speak of that salvation to others.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when we actively turn away from sin.
Yeah. Yeah. Fundis, it's going to be an interesting week as we go on, but I think we have laid the foundation very nicely. One of the things that I was saying, you know, as I was still contacting you, was, can one really fully Fundis, one repent, you know, or is it an ongoing thing, like every day, you know, or is it like, can one say, I, as Uzanel, I have fully repented from the sin of gossip, or is it a continual thing up until I don't know when? So I think this is one of the things that we're going to be exploring throughout the whole week, but I'm happy that you were able to come through and give us the foundation there. But as we close and put this on, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray that we may embrace the knowledge we are getting about repentance and we start being self-aware?
Before we pray, you had asked how it actually happens. How do we actually do it?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have time to answer that question?
Yes, you can, Pundiswam.
Do we?
Yes.
Oh, great. All right. So, this is what the Bible says about how we actually do it. So, we have three things, maybe four, that are really against our growth, our change of behavior when we turn away from sin. Those things are pride, the lust of the flesh, the world, and the devil.
Mm.
And I like how Ephesians put the three together, the world, the devil, and the lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. This is what the Bible says. I like this because the very last verse I'm going to read connects with this, and it helps us how to then live as repentant sinners.
Okay.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom, verse 3, among whom also we once walked, we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others were. And so the Bible puts it clear that we have the world, the devil, and the flesh warring against our decisions to walk right with God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we have these three things, we're in pride comes in the lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
When we have these things warring against our decision to walk right with God, The Bible says we are not hopeless because we have the Spirit of God,
yes,
who can overcome all these things. Mm-hmm. He can overcome the world. He can overcome the devil. He can overcome the flesh on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And my last text for today, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13,
okay,
the Bible simply says, it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
That means that throughout your life, when you repent of your sins, you can live in the right way, in righteousness, in harmony with God, doing his pleasure and willing to do so.
Mm.
Because by his Spirit, not by our power, by his Spirit, he overcomes the world for us. He overcomes the devil. He overcomes our flesh.
Mm.
By his power, we then can walk with him, willing and doing of his good pleasure throughout our lives. But then again, how do we continue walking throughout our lives? That we shall discuss throughout the week.
Indeed, indeed, Mfundisi. Well, Mfundisi, that indeed. Prayer, please.
Shall we pray? Dear Lord and Father, gracious Redeemer, one more time, we honor your name. We praise you because you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even in our lives. We pray, my Father and my God, grant us cleansing, a washing in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, that our minds and our hearts may conform to your will. And so we pray, create in us a new spirit. Put in us your Spirit, that my Father, in us, we may reproduce the image, the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. That mind which was in him may be in us also. We pray that you be with us throughout this week as we discuss the subject of repentance. That at the end of it, my Father, you may bless us with your presence and your Spirit. That we may be repentant indeed, not only acknowledging our sins, but that we may turn away from them and live aright. In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for being with us. Till we chat again tomorrow and as we repent. You know? May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you so much. Blessed day to you too.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.